Just gone 12 past six, and it's all new and improved, according to the Prime Minister, this revised policy to help make Medicare sustainable. So a $7 GP co-payment, gone. That will not happen. The compulsory co-payment will be gone. Instead, what the government will do is it will reduce the Medicare rebate that's paid to doctors for some consultations by $5. And then the doctors, well, it's up to them. Do they just absorb that cut, or do they charge that $5 to us? And then we have to pay it. Not everybody, though, will be in this category, and Tony Abbott was very keen to insist that we understood the most vulnerable will not be out of pocket. Here he is.
I really would want to stress that nothing changes. Nothing changes in terms of the bulk billing arrangements for children, for pensioners, for veterans, for people in nursing homes, and for diagnostic services.
So that's the list of people that will not be affected, at least according to the Prime Minister. We tried to speak to the Health Minister, Peter Dutton. He was unavailable. We thought we had him for a little moment there, but it turned out that we didn't quite, and he's unable to speak to us. Joining us instead is the Labor Shadow Minister for Health, Catherine King, who joins us now. Catherine King, I wonder, is this one of those moments where you have to say you're going to go away and look at the detail before you form a position, or do you already have one?
No, I'm pretty sure we know exactly what the government's up to here, and in fact this is really just the GP tax by stealth. I think when you've got a Prime Minister who's been pretty mean and tricky about his health policy all the way along, trying to tell you you've got a new and improved version, you better beware of the sales pitch. And again, the devil's in the detail on this. Again, consistently our position has been that we will not support something that undermines the universal health insurance scheme, which is Medicare. And that is exactly what this measure does. It reduces the fee to doctors and it forces doctors into a position of charging a GP tax.
They're not forced at all. That's the whole point. They're not forced at all. They can take the hit to that. And if they do choose to take the hit to that, well, they're probably better paid than quite a lot of their patients. And this is people who are better paid taking the hit. Why isn't that a good thing?
Well, GPs, in terms of the money that they get in their practices, I'll leave that to them to tell you and talk to you about what they actually get back from the Medicare benefit schedule. But again, what we say very clearly from a health policy point of view, the minute you start to say to patients that you are going to have to pay an extra fee to go to see the doctor, that breaks the Medicare system that we've had in this country. Basically, what it's saying is that universal health insurance scheme, where we all pay in according to our means and we draw down according to our need, it is the start of actually undermining that universal health insurance scheme, and we can't support it.
Is the same true of drugs, for example,
Again, I know that's a line the government's been trying to push for some time, but you've got to remember the government never talks about when that was introduced, that there was also a pharmaceutical allowance introduced at the same time, and that there isn't an equivalent Medicare levy for the pharmaceutical scheme as well. So you've got to be careful about buying the government's line on that.
The point that you're making is the minute you put a payment that you have to make up front, then that becomes a barrier. Now, if that piece of logic is true with respect to doctors, it must also be true to other forms of healthcare, mustn't it, like the provision of drugs?
Sure, and certainly when you see particularly the last increase to the pharmaceutical benefit scheme co-payment that was introduced by the Howard government, which was quite a substantial one, there is evidence to suggest that people stopped filling scripts and that there was a concern about compliance with medication as well, and you'll get that anecdotally from pharmacists as well, which is why that measure is something that we've equally opposed as well. The other thing this does, and again, it's you've got to go back to the principle about what we're trying to do in health policy in the system, is that what you're trying to do is actually encourage people to go to the general practitioner because it is the cheapest and most efficient part of the system, but it's where you actually keep people well, manage chronic disease and prevent ill health. What this still does is put a barrier in the way of people accessing that part of the system. The measure itself will be predicated on savings of people not going to see the doctor. And again, that is just really bad health policy for this country.
Except that it's not everybody that will be dissuaded in this way. The government has made that really, really clear, that there are certain categories of people, the most vulnerable people in our community, which is the main basis of the criticism of the original policy, will not be charged this co-payment. Their funding via Medicare will not be reduced. So doesn't that actually take care of that aspect of the argument?
It takes care of it for people who are concession card holders, for pensioners and children under 16, and we have consistently said that we are very concerned about the government's attack on the most sick and vulnerable in our community when it comes to healthcare. So I think that it is good that the government has finally, and this is 12 months we've been talking about this, been brought kicking and screaming, forced to, because the Senate would not accept this change, to actually now protect people, that they should never have been attacking in the first place. So that concession is good. But again, when you've got someone, so you've got a government deciding that it is wants to put a barrier in the way of people accessing general practice, and you do, when you do that, you're doing that on the basis of affordability, you're not doing it on the basis of healthcare need, and that's the problem we have with this proposal undermining Medicare.
Well, so how would you make it according to healthcare need? Would you charge people retrospectively for vexatious doctor visiting or something? I mean,
how do you, you know, that's the stupidity of this plan.
Well, no,
but it's... How do you know, no, seriously, how do you know? How do you know, and that's the issue, this government's decided, how do you know when someone has a what appears to them to be a minor ailment, how do you know that that's not? The other thing is that general practitioners will tell you is that when people do come in for those for things that may not end up being more serious, they often do other things as well. They check blood pressure, they check immunisation status, they check a raft of other issues, which again is about keeping people well and keeping them out of the most expensive part of the system. We know if people put off going to see the doctor, and the ABS has already said that there are, I think, 1 in 20 patients that are putting off going to see the doctor because of cost already. That was released by the ABS last week. What does that do for the longer-term costs within the healthcare system when people end up in specialists or in public hospitals?
A couple of text messages from listeners. Spin, says one text. I don't mind paying a few bucks more at the doctor and it won't stop me from going. Bruce says there needs to be a price signal to make Medicare sustainable. Labor are being bloody-minded. That particular point is an important one, isn't it? Sustainability is really the aim that the government is driving towards here. What are Labor's plans to make this sustainable?
Well, again, that's not what the government is driving to here at all. Not a single dollar, not a single dollar of what the government is doing is actually going back into healthcare delivery. Not a single dollar of it.
So it's going to research.
It is going, we understand, into a medical research future fund, which is not about the sustainability of the Medicare benefit schedule. So the government has actually created deliberately a sense of crisis here to try and push a measure through, which is largely about raising revenue off the back of sick people. Look, now, I understand there are many people already, 20% who don't get bulk billed, do pay a co-payment. Those people, many of them who struggle, you know, who may or may not struggle, but many who do struggle to find that money will now be paying extra.
Right, but the sustainability point does stand, doesn't it? I mean, even if that money is being put to medical research at the moment, that's not forevermore. There's a $20 billion cushion that they want to create in that fund, and then beyond that, that money is free to be used. That saving can be pocketed or reinvested or whatever it might be. The point is to try to make it sustainable in the long term, a structural reform, and this is a structural reform.
It's not a structural reform, but to put a barrier in the way of general practice. What it does is push people into the more expensive part of the healthcare system, some parts of which the government pays, the Commonwealth pays for, and some they don't, which go into states and territories. So the structural reform is not about the sustainability of Medicare. In fact, what it's trying to do is to push costs onto patients. And again, the government's arguments around sustainability, I think, again, the AIHW report that came out this year, in fact, actually shows that we have seen expenditure drop on healthcare. So the government's argument that it is out of control, that it is not possible to find savings in healthcare without taxing the sick, which is what they want to do with this measure, doesn't stack up against the many reports that have come out this year.
So you're saying there is no sustainability problem, we don't need to do anything?
I'm saying it is possible to find savings within health. We did it when we were in government through means testing of things like the private health insurance rebate, something opposed by this government, and certainly they've said that they will reverse. It is possible to do that without taxing people when they are sick and without actually putting a barrier in the way of accessing general practitioner and ripping money out of general practice.
And that's Labor's policy going to the next election?
Certainly in terms of the private health insurance rebate, if the government reintroduces it, it would be something that we would seek to the means testing. That would certainly be something we would seek to pursue again. But I think it's unlikely the government's going to change it anyway.
All right. Catherine King, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Really good to talk to you, Wally.
Shadow Health Minister Catherine King. Waleed Ali with you for Drive. 0418 226 576. Waleed, this is a step towards Americanizing our health system. It's a devious strategy, says Sam. Government will make cuts to the rebate that will force the $5 $1 fee, cuts in health and education spending to the states to inevitably force the increase in GST, make cuts to unis that will force deregulation and increase fees, cuts to the ABC that will see the closure of rural centres. Is the new policy tactic to make cuts and then blame it on those that consequently make hard decisions with a shrug of the shoulders saying they have an option? No sense of accountability nor responsibility, says one text. Well, you could flip that around and say the carbon tax was a similar sort of thing with people passing on costs to consumers. Keep your thoughts coming in. 0418 226 576, Twitter at RN Drive. In the meantime, let's get a medical response. That is from the medical fraternity. The AMA's president is Associate Professor Brian Aller, and he joins us now. He's on the phone from Illinois. So it must be pretty late or early where you are, Brian. Thank you very much for joining us.
It is pretty late.
For taking our call. I imagine, though, that you've got a lot to think about, and so you'll be quite stimulated and it'll be easy to stay up. Do you have a response at this point?
Look, it's a mixed bag, isn't it? I'm actually quite pleased that the government's listened in terms of vulnerable patients. I mean, we've campaigned fairly hard about the issues for the elderly, for children, for Indigenous patients, and all those on concessions that needed to be protected. So we're glad that those protections are there. Now, as for the so-called general patients, of course, there's this cut to the Medicare rebate of $5, and that means that either the patient receives $5 less back when they're privately billed, or, as would be expected, the GP will be asked to essentially charge them a minimum of $5. And it's really, I think, silly to think that a GP can just accept a cut of $5 per patient, particularly when they've had a freeze on Medicare rebates for 2 years already and now they're staring down the barrel of another 4 years of rebates. So it is a mixed bag, and at the end of the day, I think those people that are so-called general patients, non-concession over 16, will essentially be asked to contribute more to the costs of their care.
Is that fair, though, ultimately? Because if the most vulnerable are cleared of the burden in the way that the government's proposing, doctors either wear it, and doctors are not the most vulnerable in our community. You might say they're underpaid or whatever. It's a separate argument. They're certainly not the most vulnerable. Either they wear it or patients that can afford it wear it. What's the problem?
Well, that's what the AMA has been saying all along, is that we needed a fairer system, and I believe that the announcement today actually is a fairer proposal than that we saw in the May budget.
Is it fair enough, though, for the AMA, I suppose, is the question I'm asking.
Well, the issue that we have is that what we need to see is investment in general practice. I mean, I'm here in Chicago. I've been meeting people talking about primary care. Every country in the world knows that if you want sustainability, you've got to manage chronic disease, the growing burden of chronic disease in an ageing population, and that means investment in primary care and general practice. So what we're seeing is money being taken out of general practice and the patient being asked to be the main contributor. So there is a shift in responsibility in terms of the out-of-pocket expenses, in terms of costs, going onto the patient. Now, there is a protection for vulnerable patients that is much more fair than what the government had announced first off, but I think that is the real issue that we're seeing here, is that shift of financial responsibility from the government back to the patient and asking for a greater contribution from patients when they're seeing their GP.
Were you consulted?
No, look, we've been talking to the government about our proposal. I've talked to numerous politicians on both sides, but in terms of the announcement that was made today, we weren't consulted today. I had a call from the minister this evening and was told about the announcement that was about to be made. So there wasn't any consultation, but I guess some of the principles that the AMA has been arguing about, particularly for those vulnerable patients, are certainly reflected in the announcement that was made tonight.
Can I be clear, though, when you say no consultation, do you mean specifically about this announcement, or do you mean really since the May budget
right.
all along?
Well, even before the May budget, I mean, I've been quite open about the fact that the government never discussed the details of any of the proposal that was in the budget. The first we knew of it was on budget night. And in fact, that's been the problem all the way along, is really a lack of discussion and engagement. Because at the end of the day, we never needed to have the ridiculous discussion that's occurred over the past 6 months. I mean, there are so many things that we need to be talking about in terms of health policy, much more complex and nuanced health policy that needs to be sorted through. And of course, we've had this ongoing discussion about the $7 co-payment, which is distracted from those policy discussions that we need to be having. So no, there hasn't been the consultation. If there had been, I think this would have been a much easier issue, and we wouldn't have seen the the political skin that's been lost over the issue over the past 6 months.
So just listening to you speak, it sounds like this is a compromise. You're not totally repulsed by the compromise, but I'm not entirely clear on whether or not the AMA has a position on this. Is there a position that you can articulate? Are you going away to think about it? Where do we stand politically?
Well, that's right. I mean, normally the way that we work is that we will consult our Council of General Practitioners, and I've called an urgent teleconference of that group for tomorrow night, and we'll run it past them. I mean, as I said, there are aspects to this proposal that we're pleased about, particularly for those vulnerable people in our community. But there are other aspects that we're unhappy about, and that is the disinvestment in general practice, and particularly the long-term freeze to the Medicare rebate, which puts a lot of pressure on GPs to charge people more in terms of out-of-pocket. So essentially, the co-payment is going to be there for those general patients, but it's going to be the GP. The onus is going to be on the GP to charge the co-payment rather than it being legislated.
Yeah, so right. That's the strategy here, and that's why Nick Xenophon, the Senator of South Australia, who I was going to say is independent, but he's creating his own party now, so I probably can't describe him that way anymore. But anyway, he's basically said GP waiting rooms are going to become campaign offices. He said this is declaring war on doctors. Is that actually how you see it, or is that his own political bluster?
Well, I think that is a bit of bluster. I don't think it's war on GPs. And I mean, you know, Senator Xenophon has been fairly absent from this debate in terms of articulating any public position for some time. So, you know, I'm not really sure about why he's making those sorts of comments. I think there are a number of people that are trying to paint this as a war between the government and doctors. I don't see it that way at all. I mean, there are aspects that we will be unhappy about and that we will campaign against. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, there are other aspects of this proposal we think are a vast improvement. The fact that pathology and diagnostic imaging are no longer included, I mean, that's a major change. And I think that's again, something that we can welcome. So, I mean, there are positive aspects to the fact that the government has taken the steps and listened to what we've been saying over the past 6 months. There are other aspects that we won't be as happy about. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's not a matter of rejecting it or accepting it on total. We'll look at the issues that our GPs in particular are unhappy about and try and influence those.
One final aspect of it I want to raise here before I let you go. Consultations that last less than 10 minutes are going to attract a lower rebate. So the government clearly wants GPs to spend longer with patients as it happens, or at least try to filter out some of those short visits that maybe clog up the system but may not be strictly necessary, I can only assume, is the logic. What's your reaction to that bit of policy?
Well, look, that's an interesting one. I mean, one of the things that we've been worried about, if there was a cut to the Medicare rebate and people chose not to charge the extra $5, that they would basically just increase the volume of people that they saw. And we don't want a race towards six-minute medicine. We're actually trying to get away from, essentially practices that are based on volume, because we want people to spend time with patients doing quality general practice and be rewarded for that. So that is one of the mechanisms, I believe, that actually tries to encourage people to charge the extra $5, because they don't want them just bulk billing, saying we'll forego the $5 but cut 2 minutes off the consultation time. Now, on average, doctors spend about 15 minutes per consultation, so it will affect, I guess, a small number of consultations overall, but at the end of the day, it is trying to do that quality general practice and spending more time with patients, doing the chronic disease management prevention that's so important.
Professor Aller, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
And I hope you sleep well. Professor Brian Aller, AMA President, who's on the phone there to us from Chicago.